Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, X. You know, we're just, me and the Donna sitting here just talking like there's not a time for me to shut up and turn these mics on. Have you turn these mics on? Because we had to do the headlines and do the catch-up. And I did tell Adonis that he came dressed politically correct today. He didn't come in here wearing another radio station's t-shirt. I'm like, look, we to put you out, okay? I've been like, man.
You said, get the step.
Yeah. Where was the show, Apollo? Bye. Because, you know.
The Sandman.
Yeah, that was who it was. I'd have to make you the Sandman on the other side over there, because you did correct. Now, if you had a hat and a headband, you would be really politically correct today if you came in all the station gear. So we're going to have to figure out how to make you top to bottom. How you been?
Doing good. It's been a great year so far.
It has.
And
is this your first time here in 2019?
I think so.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. First time here since 2019. But I keep up with you. I keep up with you. All your little photos and
my daughter
and famous folks you have
Facebook
been hanging out with.
I said, girl, I'm going to get you some treatment.
Like,
you are on Facebook too.
Like, is there anybody that you don't know? Because you know
the people who's got some money.
Where they at?
You know, they might know me, but they don't return my calls. They were like, I don't know her. I see them somewhere. They act like I ain't never seen you before in my life.
You need to block that caller ID. That's right. What you do. You start 6-7.
Well, you know, I try. Sometimes I like to do stuff, and it's nobody knows. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm busy living my life. I don't have time to tell you I'm living it. I'm just living it.
You're just doing it.
But then, you know, I have people that are related to me by blood.
Uh-oh.
That I love, that I had, okay?
Okay.
I'm like, get off this thing. Well, Granny, no,
yeah.
Get off. And one of my granddaughters said to me, she doesn't like Facebook as much.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, why? She said, because you're on it.
Oh.
And then I know you can see everything.
You're going to see, yeah. You're going to call them out. You're going to be like, why are you posting that?
She said, you're on it and all those people you know. And I'm like, well, you know, just do right and we won't have to worry about
it. You won't have that conversation.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But that's one of the things, you know, that social media has really changed much of, you know, how people relate, how people carry themselves.
Exactly.
They take it to the extreme.
Whew, they do, because there's somebody different behind that computer, behind that phone screen.
It certainly is.
And it's like it has enabled people to be bold.
Yes.
Unfortunately, sometimes it's in the wrong way. You know, even with our kids, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Sharon Kay. It's like we've just gone through this thing with our kids. It's like, hey, we're going to start cutting you guys back.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids love to play outside. And recently we cut them back. And so we put their iPads in we keep them in our room until we take a family road trip.
Uh-huh.
That's when the iPads come out.
Good for you.
You know, and it's just one of those things. It's like,
so you give them books and crayons, like real stuff.
We give them real stuff. Real stuff.
This is modern day parenting.
Exactly.
Real stuff. I love this.
Give them real stuff, or y'all go outside and play. You know, go get some air out there and play. And because, you know, we just started noticing, you know, we don't want other people to train up our children.
Right.
And they can get on online and just, you know, see all kind of things.
Truly.
And, you know, sometimes you think, okay, that's an innocent program, but as parents, as adults, do we really investigate?
Right.
the stuff that is coming out of that screen.
No,
so it's
no.
one of those things. It's like it's a if you've got good intentions, like anything else, if you've got good intentions and you use social media as a way to connect and mm-hmm. to empower, inspire, like you do here on the radio station,
right.
and it's like, I think that's a good thing. But
yeah.
but for those that are sitting there with a grudge and trying to just pick a fight, and it's like, you know, leave that stuff at home.
Lord. Well, and you know, something else too, I see a lot of the young mothers, you know, just turn and give their $500 phone over to their kid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm like, so their brain is super stimulated,
yeah.
you know, from seeing all the images.
Exactly.
And then they wonder why Junebug won't go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's because he's been hyped up.
Watching that screen.
Well,
I
just think that is taking the place of real parenting
yeah.
and, you know, nurture and time with.
Yeah.
When a 2 and 3 year old has an expensive piece of equipment,
yeah.
and they're playing with it like it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
I think that does have a tendency to mess with the value system.
Yes.
If you're trusting them with something you had to work that hard for and they just sling it to the side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As if it means nothing.
Exactly.
What you and your wife are doing are the right things.
Yeah.
That is the absolute right thing. Was there a day when you and she had the conversation and you just said, you know what, we're doing a disservice here?
Yeah, yeah. And that was recent. It was, you know, I'm just looking around and it's like, you know, our kids are watching YouTube and the stuff that goes. It's like, you know what? We've got to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
We've got to be that parent.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't mind being that parent.
Right.
You know, because these are my kids. And you say whatever you but
yeah.
But we're going to be that parent to where we're gonna take responsibility and just take control of that situation.
Was that how you were raised?
You know, it was. You know, I look back at you know, we're always trying to do some lessons with our kids. And
mm-hmm.
it's funny you mentioned about, you know, giving a child an expensive piece of equipment
mm-hmm.
and then they just toss it aside.
Yeah.
Like, we're always on our kids about that. It's
yeah.
like, I remember upstairs with my son, I'm like, you know, in his room, I laid in his bed with him, and I said, son, do you realize? I said, Daddy didn't have his own room when
right.
he was in high school.
Right, right.
And I'm like, therefore, our expectation, when we walk into your room,
right.
for it to be clean.
Right. At all times.
Yeah. and so, you know, when we had that conversation with the social media, you know,
yeah.
we sat him down. It's like, guys, we want your brains to learn.
Yes.
But we don't want you always to be in these screens.
Right.
So we're going to do some things. And it's kind of one of those things, because with their school system, Sharon Kay, some of their programs are online,
yeah.
but we're right there with them. When they log in, it's like you're logging into your school program
right.
to do some activities,
yeah.
to do some of your schoolwork and things like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to start surfing the web or anything like that.
Right.
So it's just one of those things. And you know, I don't think they feel anything that they're missing out.
Right.
But every now and then we got to put them back in check, because they'll get around some of their friends that are carrying around phones. And
right.
like, you know what?
Right.
They're like, well, Daddy so-and-so has a phone. Well, I'm not their daddy.
Right.
I'm
exactly.
your daddy.
Right. Now, let's underline that. Right?
Yes.
Exclamation point.
Yes.
And, if you know, that time is so important.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get it back.
You're not. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that people go to their grave regretting that they didn't. You know,
do yeah.
right, didn't spend time
yeah.
with. A lot of people have grown up hurts because their parents didn't spend any time with them.
We're
talking about grown folks of today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that leaves a mark.
That
leaves a mark. And it's one of those things, you know, we begin to incorporate, you know, the busyness of our lives,
mm-hmm.
but we begin to find time within our family unit when we're all together,
yeah.
and let's maximize that time.
Right.
So when it's time for dinner, we've got into the mode of playing a board game
uh-huh.
while we eat dinner.
Oh, cool.
And we did a lot of that to get my little girl. Remember the one that was here? She'll just, you know, she'll be at the dinner table not eating, just kind of talking, and it's
yeah.
like, so we start playing board games, and nobody can take their turn unless they eat. And so our kids look forward to that. They look forward to that, Sherry Kay. It's like when it's dinner time, and, you know, my wife's almost done cooking, she'll say, I'm almost done. And so Grayson, he'll go get the board game, put it out on the table.
Oh, wow.
We turn off the TV. We'll put the phones away somewhere.
Yes.
And we're playing a board game and eating dinner as a family.
That, I feel like I'm in the old school right now.
There you
now.
Go. There you go.
And that's the way it ought to be. You mean you all sit as a unit.
We sit as a unit.
Glory.
And it's once again, well, like I said, it's twofold. It's like when it's my little girl's time, it's like, okay, you got to take a good bite of food before you can go, or you're going to miss your turn.
Oh, that
so
is.
She's scarfing it down. Yeah.
I am certain. But whatever works.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And if she'll probably remember those
times. They'll remember that.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're, you know, once again, it's because they're at that impressionable stage to where hopefully they will carry that into their adulthood to
where
they have a family, they'll remember those special moments and try to replicate that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because times will only get more advanced.
Yeah.
As, you know, I keep telling my wife, I said, our kids are growing up in a world that we were not raised in.
Right.
You know, it's just so advanced.
And
so we just, you know, we still want them to hold on to those special moments.
It's advanced, but yet there are still some things that are as basic as the day is long.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is one of the reasons why I like to have you come by to have in the studio as part of my leadership team, because, you know, you represent the young generation and all. Not that I'm old or any of that stuff. None of that. But, you know, Pastor Rudy's in Houston, and I have you here.
Yeah.
And I can look you in the eye, and we can talk about things that leaders, because a lot of the leaders of today go home at night to young families.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with this wrestling and tussling with, okay, I'm tired, and then your mama's in there complaining or whatever, trying to cook and such, and we're trying to shuffle this deck, and you know, and they feel guilty, you know, about not spending time with the family and, you know, bad attitude, etc., because they're the leaders.
Yeah.
In some instances. In some instances, there is no male figure, but there is somebody that hopefully is the leader in that relationship or in that household.
Yeah.
So I like to toss things around, you know, with you. And I guess right at 15 minutes into talking to you, I guess I better tell everybody who this is.
We just got carried away.
That's how family is. Like, oh, that's right. That's your cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're a regular listener of the broadcast, and I know y'all are, I know it. You can't fool me, Nashville. It's afternoon drive. I know you're in the car this is live on Fisk Campus. I have several members of my leadership team. The 4-1 show is blessed to have its own leadership crew that have been. I pulled them in for many years now to offer encouragement and be our motivational speakers and empowerment to our communities, and just happen to be blessed to have two of my members of my 4-1 show leadership team that are both members of the community of faith.
All right.
Look at the
line. I like the way you say the community of faith.
Yes. Work it out. And because that is the capacity at which you serve multiple levels of leadership. So, Adonis, of course, you know, is author here, and as well as a minister and a motivational speaker all over the country.
Yes.
So I'm very excited always to have you here.
Well, I love being here.
Do you? We're hanging out in the studio with Sharon Kay.
Hanging out with Sharon Kay. No better way.
Well, you know, that's how I see it. But I feel very blessed to be able to be a veteran in my field.
Yeah.
And still, after 41 years, I can crack a mic and some jokes.
You can do
it. After all this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, because a lot of folks, you know, cannot and have not. So I feel very blessed. And my show has had so many wonderful. Did you hear the gentleman last hour from the Resistance?
I caught the tail end of it,
You know, he is a professor of religious studies.
Okay.
And his conversation and the whole look at the thickness of this book, okay?
We the resistance.
Clearly, there's a lot here.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Clearly. But the community of faith and people therein have had a lot to do with the shaping of so many things.
Yeah.
And leaders emerge from that.
Yeah.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
As you have worked and empowered people for a long time, you see some basic tenets in people or core characteristics that we can discuss today that you'd like to dwell on in particular. I think now's the season of a lot of reflection in this Holy Week.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
Now look at the Lord. Put
look at
you
that.
In here on
yeah.
We're
going to
talk about
week.
Jesus. Look at the Father.
Yeah.
That wasn't even planned, okay? Man, I don't question that.
I love it. I love it.
But during this time, a lot of people have been making sacrifice and dealing with different levels of struggle. Can you speak on that in terms of your professionalism and your leadership? What this whole sacrificial piece has meant for so many?
Yeah, you know, and thanks for opening up this dialogue on that, Sharon Kay. It's, you know, when you think about this Holy Week and people, you know, day or two to be Good Friday, and then you know, we go into Easter Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time to reflect. To me, it's a time to reflect on, you know, the greatest leader, who I think is Jesus Christ, and just his example that he gave to all of us, and there's so many things we can take from that to where, because he was a man, he walked this earth as a man, and I think he put that example of what true servanthood and leadership was all about, and so those are the things just that I encourage people with when you're walking that journey, and when you are maybe faced with a task for the people. And because that's what servanthood is all about, when you're serving the people. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people are thankful for it. Sometimes people are not thankful for it. But it should not change your attitude towards doing what you believe God has called you to do.
Right.
No matter where you are in leadership, if you're going to lead, you've got to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to know how to be a good follower as well. Jesus told his disciples before he ever said, "Go ye," he said, "Follow me."
Mm-hmm.
So to be a good leader, I start with, who are you taking your cues from?
Right.
Who are you following?
Crucial.
Who is your mentor over your time of being formed into a leader?
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, whose content or teachings did you follow? Whatever that is, you've got to make sure you're being mentored by some good leadership if you're going to go on to be a good leader.
Well, and I think something else that's so crucial in today's times is knowing the difference between good leadership and bad leadership.
So, oh, girl, I got a whole plan.
When we come back, because if you read the Old Testament, when it was good kings and it wasn't good kings, that same thing applies.
Exactly.
So we want to talk about that when we come back, because that really sparked you up.
Oh, yeah. Because
you understand the differences, and that's probably part of what you encounter when you're out speaking. If you want to be in our discussion today, we're happy to have a quarterly visit from Adonis Lindsay. He is motivational speaker, minister, and author. And your many times of being with us, we always want to remind the audience he's author of the book Next, and I'll let you do a couple of sentences on that when we come back from the break on the book, because I know you speak on that subject
we'll
as well.
Do.
Because there's a whole lot of stuck folks.
Stuck people.
Lord have mercy. That keeps the Associated Press busy.
Yeah.
And keep us busy reading all this. Anyway,
circus.
Questions or comments is 615-329-8810. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
That wreck on 65 South at Rosa Parks Boulevard has been moved to the right lane, blocking part of the exit. In Midtown, collisions are slowing Broadway at Beeman Buick and 9th and Church Street near Burkholder Center. 65 South slowing from Dickerson Pike to Trinity. This traffic report is brought to you by the United States Air Force. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome.
Keep listening to Jazzy 88 WFSK for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Kenny G live at the Ryman Saturday, June 22nd, 8 p.m. Your opportunity to win could happen at any moment on Jazzy 88. AP News Service at WFSK is brought to you by Indeed.
Topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone log is
411 SAG Funeral Home. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And before we go back into the discussion, I do want to remind all of you that the month of April is our spring fun drive. This is it, man. And we do a lower version, scaled down version. You know, in fall we lose our minds, but in spring we're trying to put the key in the bag and get wound up.
There you go.
But this is our birthday month. WFSK is blessed and highly favored to be 46 years old.
Ooh.
I know it. Unbelievable, isn't it?
That's it. Awesome.
Yes. Oh, yes. So 46 years of service to the community. We are a nonprofit licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to be educational. Therefore, I have chosen as the management that we will be African American Public Radio, and we will spend our time in conversations, discussions, and educational mode and with our community of color in mind. So you hear a lot of special programming on WFSK and music specials, etc., honoring life and legacy, like our King Day 8-hour presentation. And of course, you know, during Black History Month, we present special Black History programs from African American public radio stations from around the country. And we could not do that without the level of support from the community to keep this radio station going. It is not free and it is not cheap. And quality, you know, we try to offer as much quality as we can on the tiny shoestring that we operate on.
Yep.
If it had not been for the goodness of the Lord by our side, this place would have been folded up a long time ago. But the Father has been a blessing, and we have excellent donors and people who care enough. When we do ring the bell
or pass the church plate, that they put a little something in it.
In it.
Okay?
There you go.
Don't just talk about it, run from it, but actually support it in the way of tax-deductible donations. That helps us to defray the cost of operating WFSK as your favorite radio station. And let me not leave out Nashville's Jazz Station.
Yes.
Where we honor the music of our people, and we bring the city something that they can certainly be proud of. The global audience loves tuning in. I have emails and correspondence from people all over the world who just love the station.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. And you all are on all of our social. Why don't you get on and make a donation to support us? Then I can really brag about how much I love you. Because as of right now, having thousands of people and tens of thousands is not resulting in... not even close.
You know, Sharon Kay, Andre Crouch used to say, the gospel is free, but the pipes cost money.
Yes, Lord. Yeah. Okay. And then you got to turn the pipes on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and folks love to come over here with their new books and their new this is and that's and their fundraisers. And we're happy to support them and their church programs and their fraternities and sororities and blasés. And we're happy to help you. But you should also at the same time, remember, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And we need you all to step up to the plate and support WFSK. And if you can't do it this month, then on May 1st, on May Day, make a pledge to yourself that you're going to support WFSK because we're there for you 24/7, 365. Now, in the studio on the broadcast is Adonis Lindsay. He is with me today to do the 401 Show's leadership series. And he is a resident of Nashville. So we're happy to have him in the house today. He's a motivational speaker, minister, and author. Before we go into good leadership, not good, can we just do a couple sentences on your book next?
Yes, my book next, What You Do When You Know There's Something More. I wrote that to just inspire people, encourage them to go back and get that dream that they put on the shelf. Because maybe they tried it and it didn't work out, or they had some moments of temporary failure and they just got so discouraged. But I try to encourage people, go back, get that dream off the shelf, and let me give you some practical steps that you can begin to take to get your mind right, to get your conversation right, to get your circle of friends right, your support system right, so that you can be empowered to start gaining some traction and moving closer to that dream that you once were so passionate about.
Yeah.
And go back and find what happened to that passion. Let's deal with that. Let's deal with the internal part as well.
Yeah.
But you've got to put some feet to your faith.
Yeah.
You know, I found out being in ministry for over 20 years, Sharon Kay, I'd sit and talk to people that felt like God had a plan for their life.
Yeah.
But they were waiting on God to do it all.
Right.
And I said, you know, my favorite scripture too is Jeremiah 29:11, but you've got to partner with God.
Yes.
And you've got to work it.
Truly.
And so it's a simple read. But it's a great resource for people that have hit a discouraged moment or they've settled for a life that's less than what God has intended for them to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love to empower people to start moving forward again.
Absolutely. What kind of results have you seen from people who have applied the principles?
Oh, great results, Sharon Kay. Starting with the mindset, just people that had to realize that their whole mindset was just totally wrong. You know, we talk about in the book, getting your shift together, getting that mind shift together.
Oh,
and, you know, surround yourself with positive people. And they just found themselves just with a rabbit trail of a negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
That kept them in bed, you know, from the moment they woke up. And so we just, you know, I've heard people say, man, you know, I just really had to do some positive self-talk, you know, get in the mirror. And it works, Sharon Kay, at the end of the day.
Yes,
that works.
Absolutely.
That works. So people that were struggling with a past failure.
Yeah.
In the book, we talk about letting go of yesterday so that you can not focus on what did not happen, but you can focus on what can happen for your life. And so many people get hung up on what went wrong.
Yes.
And we spend a lot of time trying to fix yesterday. And so, you know, I've heard a lot of feedback from people that, you know what, I let it go once and for all.
Right.
And I realized that I can't, no emotional amount of energy is going to change what happened yesterday.
That's true.
And so we get people to redirect that emotional energy into a positive future for themselves and start thinking, instead of thinking about what can go wrong, start thinking about what can go right.
So you're cultivating leaders with this concept.
Exactly.
When before the break, I mentioned when leadership is good and when leadership is off the track, it's just out there. What impact do you see when leadership is off the track? How does that impact people in a larger perspective? If you run a business or if you want to run a country or state or whatever, and it's just off the chart, what have you seen? Have you seen that manifest in people, human behavior?
Yeah. You know, leadership is everything. You know, the old quote, slogan, everything rises and falls with leadership. And leadership is a responsibility. You know, I teach people that all the time. It's you got to care about what people, you know, we have this thing, I don't care what people think about me, but when you're a leader, let's say you're a leader over a huge corporation, or you need to care what people think about you as a leader, because that affects your organization. And so I've seen people, you know, as far as in leadership, and begin to think that, you know, everything is going good because of them, and they forget about the team that's around them. And so we get into the mode of I'm the leader, you know, what I say goes, you know, it's my way or the highway.
Right.
And leadership can easily get into that mode of thinking that they've done it all and, you know, disregarding the team around them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the most important thing is to realize that when you are a leader, it's you are for your people.
Right. And not just for yourself.
Exactly. You're for your people. Because people know when they're following a leader who cares about them. You know? And you know, on the flip side, they know when they're following a leader who is could care less about them as a person. Mm-hmm. All they want is that bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all they want is productivity out of that person. And so, you know, I think great leadership conveys the message that, you know, I value you. If you're on my team, I value you, and not just for what you can bring to the table for the organization, but I value you enough to, I want to know about your family. I want to know about your spouse. I want to know about, you know, what extracurricular activities do your children have going on. I want to be that kind of leader that shows you I care about you outside of this establishment.
Right.
And I think that's great leadership. And I think that's something that a team member will pick up on.
Yeah.
Just like they'll pick up once again when a leader begins to get off track.
Yeah.
And a leader begins to do some things that are questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And you got some people that are afraid to challenge that because they don't want to lose their position or they don't want to lose their job. But
well, we see a lot of that going on.
You see a lot of that.
You
don't want to challenge when you see leadership getting a little bit off.
Yeah.
Okay. And that could be on any different level. It could be just a manager of a store or something like that.
Yeah.
But when you see people getting off, it's like they don't want to challenge that.
Right.
And a lot of times you'll know whether or not you're, you know, dealing with a leader who will take criticism.
Yeah.
You know, or will take not so much as correction, but just somebody saying, hey, I've noticed this. And, you know, this is the effect that's having on the company or the corporation. And depending on how that leader responds, they may, well, if you don't like it, leave. Well, then, you know, OK, this leader is not it's not for the team. They're for themselves.
Right.
You know, and it goes back to who has been their mentor.
Right. So those people, would they be the ones to make the very rash and harsh decisions in their capacity that could subsequently cause people to lose their jobs or any number of things to fail within the company or in the business?
I think as a leader, when you get off track and you know, maybe you're, you know, because once again, I think the leader sets the pulse and, mm-hmm. the temperature and the tempo for their entire organization.
Absolutely.
So when you see the leader get off track and the leader conveys a message to the team that leader doesn't care about me, then right. I'm not going to care about the company.
Right.
Does that make sense? So it's like it's like a trickle-down effect. Well, he doesn't care about me or she doesn't care about me. Why should I care
right.
about the work that I'm producing
right.
here? And that attitude begins to filter down through the entire organization.
Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, once again, when there's no productivity, the organization is going down. It's so funny because the leader will stand up and say, well, you know, it's not me, it's the people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, but I think, once again, bad leadership just destroys or has the potential to hurt an entire organization.
It can.
Because of the mindset.
Right.
When you're dealing with somebody who maybe they were just in it for themselves, or you can realize real quickly, maybe there's an integrity issue and trust is broken.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you can imagine when trust is broken, what does that do to an employee?
Lord.
What does that do to a worker on a different level of the organization when they're not trusting leadership? Because when you're not trusting, Sharon Kay, you're not giving 110%.
Or when leadership never tells the truth.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so, and that's when trust is broken.
Right.
Okay.
Oh,
and so when trust is broken, it doesn't take you long to figure out, okay, this is, I may be on the wrong train here.
Right.
And then, you know, you're still coming to work, but you're filling out applications elsewhere.
Right.
You've checked out.
Right.
And the leader doesn't realize if he's got many people begin to check out, the organization begins to go down.
Yes, it does.
You understand what I'm saying? All because of a trust factor.
Right.
And, you know, when you start lying and you're not telling the truth, it's like you can't cover that up. You can't. I tell people this all the time. You cannot cover up bad leadership.
No, you can't.
No, you just can't. You can't cover up bad leadership. It's going to seep through somewhere.
Oh, it will.
And especially when you've got grown folk in your organization,
yes.
you just can't
right.
cover that up.
Right.
But sometimes a leader, you know, different levels of leaders, but, you know, when narcissism is in play,
uh-huh.
and a leader doesn't want to accept the responsibility,
exactly.
then the leader's mindset is, it's not me, it's you.
And everybody around you.
Yes, I'm not the problem.
Right.
Y'all are the problem.
Right. Or that person lives in the land called confusion.
Yes. Okay?
You all know that place.
Exactly.
Where, you know, let's just confuse everybody today.
Yeah.
Let's tell you that the sky is green and actually it's blue.
It's the false narrative.
Yes, it is. And that confusion could lead people to health consequences.
Oh, yeah.
It could lead to, you know, relationship issues. It can really lead to so
economic
many things.
Issues.
Yeah,
once
definitely.
Again, it's like
definitely.
If you're not.
Definitely.
Everything rises and falls on leadership.
It truly does.
Yeah.
And I think once that, you know, people dwell on that more.
Yeah.
They'll understand that you don't take it lightly.
It's a huge responsibility
yes.
to stand up and be a leader on any platform. And, you know, I think sometimes if your character is not at a place
yeah.
where it can handle the responsibility, it will crush you.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself as a leader compromising in areas that you wouldn't have normally compromised
right.
in, or you'll find yourself under the pressure of trying to produce that bottom line.
Yes.
And then you slip into the mindset, well, we're just going to do whatever it takes to get it done.
Yeah.
And you're not really leading people.
Right.
You're the taskmaster. And
right.
You know, it's like, you got to do what I say do
right.
or whatever. And a good leader.
Yeah.
If you're a good leader, people will follow you.
Yeah.
They will trust you.
Yeah.
You can step in a boardroom, and if you've got the people's trust,
yeah.
they're behind you 110%.
That's right.
You know, and they're going to give 110%.
Yeah. Well, and also, those people are they full of a sense of pride? You know, so proud of themselves, and they haven't accomplished anything, you know, but mess up everything. I mean, I know folks have been in those predicaments.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know they have.
Yeah.
At their job, you know, and seeing in government or at your household or your place of worship, you know, you've seen that.
Seen it, yeah.
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 And So when we come back from the break, that's some of the characters of bad leadership.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to bless you in the last segment. When leadership is good.
We're going to bless you.
Lord,
bless you.
It's going to be good. Well, I figure that, you know, we knocked that out first.
The hard stuff. Yeah, got the hard.
Give you something to be optimistic about. You know, because there's days when you're just like, oh, Father, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have a question or comment, want to be in our discussion? Adonis Lindsay, motivational speaker, minister, and author, is in the studio to talk empowerment and encouragement for leaders. And this is part of the 411 Show's leadership series. My number is 615-329-8810. We're taking a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
40 and 24 West getting hot through Hermitage and the Eastern Split. A wreck on I-40 East at Fessler's Lane. Another collision at 65 South at the Harding Ramp and on the 65 North Ramp to Rosa Parks Boulevard. This traffic report is brought to you by ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome. This week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week is producer and saxophonist Jeff Coffin. His latest release is entitled On the Corner Live, The Music of Miles Davis. Tune in during your lunch break to hear some prime cuts from the new release. Plus, you can win some brand new music. Be sure not to miss the WFSK Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station.
On the next Jazz Night in America, what does it mean to retire from jazz?
I would have liked it if I had examples and role models in the jazz world. The hard part was not deciding, but deciding when.
Gary Burton opens up, and we've got music from his final concert in the States. I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m., and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
You know, we got to testify.
We got to get, yeah.
We testified. I didn't even notice my cue. I was like.
It's the glory cloud. Yeah. Just kind of blinded us in this room. The glory fell, and we couldn't even see.
We'll tell you when.
So the minister couldn't minister for the.
There you go. For the cloud came down. Okay. Everybody laid prostrate.
Okay. We were talking about good kings and not good kings. And since we're in the Holy Week cycle right now and giving honor to the Creator, the Most High.
See, that Old Testament is real.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. I feel like some folks on their way to a Wednesday night prayer meeting.
There you go.
Okay. Because some of you all are going that are listening now. And before we move into the good kings, there were 33 evil kings. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay, that's a lot. That is a lot, a lot. And only five good ones in the Old Testament times. Can you talk to me about that time frame and why there ended up with no kings?
Yeah. Because eventually God instituted judges to judge over the people. But, you know, I think it goes back to the humanity, to me, Sharon Kay, and the human nature. It's like when people are placed in a position of authority, the character that's on the inside of them.
Yeah.
It's the character that comes out.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it's like, you know, it would take that up and down. You'd have a bad king, then you'd have a good king to come and have to bring restoration back to. But it all, you know, they all got off track when they got away from the word of God. And you remember the young king Josiah, the young one. He was just a little boy taking over. From his father. Mm-hmm. And so I love what it says when he sent some of his people in to clean out the tabernacle, the church, attempts to restore, to rebuild. And in the midst of all the rubbish, they found something. You know what they found? They found the book of the law. They found the word of God.
In the rubbish. Huh?
And so when Josiah began to read it, it's like his heart began to break.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw, we've been doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. And he was just a child.
Just a child. Mm-hmm. But you think about that, you know, the leadership before him,
mm-hmm.
and then he had to go and bring some correction
mm-hmm.
to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how easy it can be for all of us when we are able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what I've been doing is not working.
Right.
I've messed up.
Yes.
Maybe I've had some integrity issues. And if we can get real with ourselves as leaders,
mm-hmm.
when we start to err and look at ourselves in the mirror, because Josiah had to look at the word of God and really the Bible says he began to weep. And it's like, because he's like, whoa, we are off track
way off.
And I think if we can find our way back to what God has to say about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can find our way back to some principles and characteristics
mm-hmm.
of our Heavenly Father, then we can get back on a good train of thought when it comes to leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, being back in this Holy Week, when you look at it, even as Jesus, as he was walking out his destiny and walking out his path, came from heaven to earth as a man,
mm-hmm.
and was tempted on every occasion as a man, but he kept his focus mm-hmm. on what God had called him to do.
Amen.
And there was even a moment where, you know, because people, we want to always put people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
That's our human nature.
Yeah.
And we got to get away from that.
That's true.
You know, people are people.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, and once again, we talked about this earlier, but as a leader, I don't expect you to be perfect. I'm not going to put you on a pedestal.
Yeah.
If you're leading people, if you're in a position of authority, I do not expect you to be perfect, but I don't expect you to do some crazy things either.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's the expectation.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus, when he was doing miracles, and it said, you know, in the Bible it says there was one time where the people wanted to get a hold of him and make him king.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus knew that that was not what God had called him to do
there.
And he got away from them. He slipped through the crowd, got away.
Yeah.
And so I think if we can understand that, you know, God's called all of us to be a leader at some capacity.
Yeah.
It's not just the people that you see on a platform.
Right.
It's not just the people that you see on television or in government positions. But God's called all of us to be a leader at some capacity.
Absolutely.
And to lead, I think we need to understand that is a responsibility, that if we're leading, it means we're taking people with us somewhere to a desired destination.
Yes.
And if we're a good leader, we're taking people to a good place.
Right. And when you're not, when you're a good leader, the people prosper. All the people prosper.
Yes.
Not just the top 1%.
Yes. And I love that. That's what, you brought that scripture up. That is great because that's biblical. And like you said, it doesn't get any plainer or black and white than that.
It does
not. When there's good leadership, the people prosper. Meaning, good things happen.
Not just the top 1%.
Exactly.
Okay, y'all get this? Oh, A-L-L. That would be Auntie and them in the projects.
Exactly.
Okay.
Everybody.
Right. Y'all got
everybody.
That, right? Okay. All righty. Now, and I think that there, from that time was the time when there were no kings.
Yeah.
So when leadership was gone, because it was, you know, God said, I got something different.
Yeah, he had judges. And to me, they were still leaders because he had to raise them up.
Right.
And a lot of times he would find leaders. You think about Gideon. He would find leaders who didn't think they were qualified to be a leader.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people deal with that. I think a lot of people.
Does that happen in you, and what you've observed from after being around bad leadership, you doubt your own skills and ability?
I think a lot of people will. You know, it depends on, you know, how long they were up under bad leadership. Depends on if, you know, how much that really affected them. Sometimes people lose their faith in leadership. And they lose their faith in humanity.
Easy to do.
Some people don't know how to separate the person from the office, and they just lose a lot of faith in it all.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I think every now and then God is still searching for leaders in all areas of this this world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, leaders begin to doubt themselves. Gideon, when God was calling him, he's like, Gideon, I'm going to use you to raise up an army and to defeat the enemy. And Gideon was like, God, you got the wrong person.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, there he was. He's like, you got the wrong person.
But that's always right.
Yes.
See?
How many times have leaders talked themselves out of doing something great?
So many times.
For their community, for their neighborhood,
for the city, for the family,
because they think they're not qualified, or they think they've done something in their past that has disqualified
them.
And they don't pay attention to that nudge when God is trying to push them, or God puts a passion. They'll see an injustice, and they just get so passionate to try to fix that.
Yeah.
And you know, day one they talk themselves out of it. Well, nobody's going to listen to me.
Yeah.
Who do I think I am to go into that arena and try to speak to that organization?
Right.
But you just never know. I think when you say yes to the call of God, especially when it's leadership, God knows what he's put on the inside of you.
Yes, he does now.
And he's equipped you.
He sees it 24/7, You talk about up all night and all day. Okay, he got you.
He's equipped you.
Yes.
But, you know, you can see that whole pattern when it's dealing with leaders in the Bible, with Moses. Moses is like, Lord, I'm
the least likely people.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's the part that,
God uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise.
He didn't get the richest when he got the disciples.
Exactly.
He just had a motley crew.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know?
A motley crew that on today's standards, none of you all would have said, oh, they're not worthy.
Exactly.
You know, we're not. Our thoughts are not his, the Father's thoughts.
Yeah, and once again, Jesus sets the prime example to step from heaven in all his glory and to be born as a child.
Yeah.
And you know, if we read that, you know, it's a cute scene on Christmas when you see people, they have the stables out and the manger scene, but that was so intentional.
Yeah.
I think it was more than just a cute little scene, but that was very intentional.
Yeah.
as a way for us. It's like leadership. It's not about being the high and the mighty.
Right.
You know, but it's about being in touch with humanity.
Right.
It's about being in touch with your neighbor.
Amen.
It's about being in touch with your coworker.
Yeah.
It's about being in touch with your family.
Right.
And walking life out together.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, speaking of that, I often wonder during that time when the little church plays and all that kind of stuff, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, has her head covered, okay? And then we want to torture people that wear a hijab, you know, because I'm like, that's a head cover.
Yeah.
You know, would you torture Mary, the mother of Jesus, because of the cultural aspects?
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's how far our nation has gotten away from.
Yeah.
You know, and that is shameful. But anyway, having said that, now, when do you know that the leadership is good and you work for a good place or good? Now, you're about to get some people upset right now. So come on, break it on down, son.
I think, you know, leadership is good when there is, once again, I go back to the trust. When you're working for an organization, and when I say leadership, backbiting about leadership, when nobody's sending them out, it's good. You know it's good when you're not going home complaining. You know it's good, even if you have to put in some overtime, but you're so passionate about that.
Yes.
And you feel like leadership notices you.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to be unnoticed, but you feel like leadership takes the time to come around and thank you for what you're doing for the organization as well. And I think that's when it's so cyclical. Within that, because you feel valued.
Yes.
You know, and when you feel valued, Sharon Kay, you're going to give your best.
I love to get my ticket punched.
You did? Yeah, there you go.
Come on, help me, Lord.
Yeah, when you feel valued, you're going to give your best.
Oh, yes.
You know? But
yes.
When you're working 110% and you never get a thank you and you never get a,
man,
I appreciate what you did there, you know, you just, all of a sudden, that value level begins to go down. And when people feel devalued, that's when the attitudes come out. That's when you start gossiping, that's when you start talking, and that's when you feel like leadership does not care about
you. Right, right. And that's when issues break out in the workplace.
Exactly.
Co-workers mad at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, attitude, cutting your eyes and caring.
And
it's what you do.
And it's the same thing in relationships and families and marriages.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like when a family member feels like they're not getting enough time with somebody, they feel devalued.
Yes, they do.
You know? And so that's one of the things my wife and I, we try to pay attention to, even with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, when they'll come in and, you know, kids, they know how to work us.
Yes.
You know?
Of course.
But when they come
that's
in.
That's their job.
They come in and, you know, my son the other day, Daddy, when you going to come eat lunch with us at school? It's like, okay.
That's time.
It's like,
give me time.
That's when you know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like in his mind, he's telling us, hey, I want you to come have lunch with me.
Yeah.
You know? And so that is not, oh, I don't have time. No. He's just told me.
Right.
You know? And if I keep ignoring that, pretty soon, he's going to look around and see when Johnny's parents are coming, Lisa's parents are coming.
He's going to start feeling bad about it.
Exactly.
You know? Well, and I will tell you that I just recently began doing that again with my grown kids, my grown children and my niece and my nephew.
You're giving
that are
some
grown.
Of your time.
We have to have our monthly, let's get our grub on.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to do it.
Got to do it.
Sometimes I have to make them do it because I want them to not be so dependent on the world that they don't forget.
Yeah.
Who love you?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to be there regardless.
Regardless.
Sleet, snow.
Yeah.
If I got to walk in some high heels backwards, y'all know mama going to be there.
There ain't no love
Auntie
like
is
a mama's
to
love.
Be there,
I'm telling you.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no
they
love like
so
a mama's love.
So I would like to stay plugged in.
Yeah.
And I had to just, because everybody was going in different directions.
Yeah.
And I think families, when the children and stuff get older, they need to have that plug-in time.
Well, see, I think a leader, you know, that's another characteristic of a leader.
Oh, yeah.
Just like when you say you notice everybody's going in their different directions. A leader sees that.
Yes.
It's like, let me bring the team back together.
Yes.
Let me have something in place.
Uh-huh.
It can't be 24/7, but let me have something in place where we're still having that moment of coming back together.
Yeah.
A good leader is able to recognize and take the pulse of the organization.
There it is.
You know, just like me and my wife, we take the pulse of our family.
Yeah.
You know, I think a leader carries that into a large corporation, has to take the pulse. And when it's time to have the family meetings, or the family vacations or the family fellowship,
yeah.
whatever it takes to build that morale yes. to where people feel like they are a part.
Absolutely.
You know?
And loved.
Yes, yes.
Now, Adonis, you know I love you and the family. And I want you to give us our audience, you know, you didn't know this because I know you didn't,
mm-hmm.
that he was going to be here on Holy Week. It wasn't planned.
Well,
okay, it wasn't. I'm telling you now, it wasn't planned.
Yeah, all right.
Okay,
all right,
you
all
know
right.
the Lord operates. You know
yeah,
how he does.
Yeah.
Now, would you please?
Yes.
Give us our seal up. Now, you know, usually we don't do prayer on Wednesday, but
yeah.
it's Holy Week.
It's Holy Week.
And I don't care about y'all. It's Holy
yeah,
Week.
It's Holy Week.
You know I love the Lord. Don't you come between me and them. You know I love it. Okay, so Adonis. Do it.
I will. Well, Father, we just thank you for this amazing day. We thank you for all the things that have gone out over the air. And Father, right now, we just recognize your ultimate sacrifice for your people. Lord God, as many people get ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for churches around this city, Lord God, that people are planning on visiting or going to maybe for the very first time. But we just thank you in advance that their hearts are open wide to receive what will come across in churches around the world, Lord God, on Sunday morning. And Father, we thank you for those that are struggling with faith right now, Lord God. We just thank you that, Lord God, that you send somebody their way. May a Christian cross their path, Lord God, and talk to them about the story of Jesus Christ, Lord God. May we not just look at this as another day of celebration and Easter eggs, Lord God, but may we understand the importance of what happened when you rose Jesus from the grave, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that resurrection power is available for every person in this world, Lord
Amen.
God, that's going through a hard situation, that's going through a situation that they thought was dead and gone. We just speak life right now
yes.
To the listeners out there, Lord God, that situation is not dead, it's not over,
yes.
It's not gone, but there's a second chance, Lord God. There's a wave, Lord God, that's coming right now in the name of Jesus that would spark a resurrection, Lord God. That person that gave up on a God-given dream right now, we speak resurrection life to that dream, that it will spark once again in your heart, that you would move on that
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
we thank
yeah.
you for that, Lord God. And Father, once again, we thank you just for your love, your amazing love, Lord God. You loved us so much that you sent your only Son to give his life, Lord God, to shed his precious blood,
yes.
to be hung on a cross, Lord God, to give his life so that we can have life. We thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, today we just give you all the praise,
yeah.
all the glory,
yes.
and all the honor in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen. Dallas, thank you. I love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Your website?
My website. If anybody wants information on me, you can go to AdonisLindsay.com. That's A-D-O-N-I-S, Lindsay, L-E-N-Z-Y.com. You can find all my information there. Or you can check out my ministry website as well. You can see my brand new TV program on my ministry website at AdonisLindsay.org.
All right. Look at the Lord showing out his blessings.
Look at that.
You all have a blessed Good Friday and Holy Week, and we'll be with you on Resurrection Sunday. You will have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.